Now, coming up this Thursday, the 28th, town of Chapel Hill is going to be hosting an event remembering the Chapel Hill Nine. These were nine high school students who launched a sit-in demonstration against segregation at the Colonial Drugstore on February 28th, 1960. This Thursday is the 59th anniversary of that, and beginning at 5 o'clock, the town is going to dedicate a site for a permanent historical marker at the location, 405 West Franklin Street, with a community celebration at First Baptist Church to follow. We're joined here in the studio by Molly Luby, who's the Special Projects Coordinator for the Chapel Hill Public Library, and Danita Mason Hogans. She is on the Chapel Hill Civil Rights Commemoration Task Force, which has been putting together a number of events and projects to remember Chapel Hill's civil rights history. She is also the daughter of Dave Mason, who was one of the Chapel Hill Nine all the way back in 1960. Molly, Danita, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
So tell us about the event on Thursday. It begins at 5 o'clock. What is it going to entail?
Well, we're going to meet at the historic location for Colonial Drug at 5 o'clock, and we're going to talk about the dedication of the marker, and then we're going to march maybe at about 5:15, 5:20 to First Baptist Church, where we'll hear all kinds of musical programs.
And at First Baptist, Danita has set up an amazing program to celebrate the Chapel Hill Nine and celebrate the civil rights youth movement at Lincoln High School. She's done an amazing job bringing in performers as well as speakers just to recognize and inspire young people that they have the power to change.
Awesome. And it all starts at 405 West Franklin Street, which was the Colonial Drugstore in 1960. Now it's West End Wine Bar, right? So everyone is invited to head there beginning at 5 o'clock on Thursday. Danita, tell us about the task force, because this organization has been together for, it's been a year now, basically, right? Putting together a number of different things.
Yeah, this task force kind of came together after we did work at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke. And it was a little bit innovative, because what we decided to do as the task force is to put the history makers in the center of the conversation. And that's a little different. We also decided to have a very collaborative approach. So we were able to partner with the local school system, the university, the library, and the government, the city government and the town government, to talk about this history. And this is really an innovative approach to the way that we document history and make sure that the history makers are in the center, but also that youth can be inspired by this history, and the documentation collection of this history can be shared with the rest of the town. So we're really, really excited about the process by which we gather this information, because I don't know of anyone else who is collaborating like this.
Awesome. And this this event on Thursday, plus the historical marker, is just one product of the task force. I know there were several others. So what were some of the others?
Molly, you want to talk about the...
Sure. So our original charge for the task force, which was formed by Mayor Pam Heminger, and she charged us with creating a timeline of the important people, places, and events of the Chapel Hill Civil Rights Movement. And out of that work, so there's a lot of history that's been written about the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill. That history comes from amazing historians at UNC primarily. But what hadn't been told in any of those histories was the history of the people who lived in Chapel Hill, specifically in what is now called the Northside neighborhood, where this movement started. And so we, as part of the task force, were talking to people and uncovering that history. And when we were doing that, we realized that just creating a timeline can't be the only thing we do. Mm-hmm. So we came to town council in the summer of 2018 with a set of recommendations. We gave them the timeline that we created, but we also said this timeline needs to be shared widely. And we created a big vinyl version of the timeline, which anybody can now check out at the Chapel Hill Public Library. We also created sets of trading cards that are like a mobile version of the timeline, so that those can be given out in classes. Organizations can request sets. So we have lots of those available as well. We made a video of the Chapel Hill Nine telling their story. All of that can be found on a website, chapelhillhistory.org. You can find all of that information there. But that wasn't the end. The greatest thing that I have watched is how this history, which had so long been in the hands of scholars and in the history books, has moved into the hands of the people who lived that history. And I have seen them tell this story. I have seen the standing ovations at events. And it's been really great to see not just the history makers honored for the work that they did, but just to see the communal nature of this really come together, where it's like the entire community is sharing the story. And I've just been so amazed. And Danita has really been leading that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking with Molly Luby and Danita Mason Hogan's talking about the Civil Rights Commemoration Task Force for Chapel Hill event this Thursday, now at West End Wine Bar. It used to be Colonial Drug, where the sit-in was launched on February 28, 1960, challenging segregated businesses in Chapel Hill. And that really is where Chapel Hill's contribution to the Civil Rights Movement really began. And Danita, this brings your family into it, because Dave Mason, your father, was one of the Chapel Hill Nine. So tell us that story.
Well, you're right. Dave Mason is my father, one of the Chapel Hill Nine. And I grew up with these stories about how they went to Colonial Drug Store and decided not to give up their seats. And was really inspired by that story, but also other stories of people in Chapel Hill who had contributed so much. Dr. King's coming to First Baptist Church, or Bayard Rustin being arrested in Chapel Hill. So for me, there was always a parallel narrative of what was the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill. Being from Chapel Hill, seven generations on both sides, there were stories in my family going all the way back to the Union Army coming through, and my great-grandmother sharing stories with me about that. So this was just an opportunity to really dive into the local history and how this local community was not only affected by the civil rights movement, but sparked and inspired the civil rights movement. So it was a great thing when we were able to partner. As Molly said, one of the best things about it was that this history has the tendency to be very divisive, and it was certainly a painful part of local history. But in order to deal with that pain, it's very important that we talk about the history and kind of deal with the history from a historical perspective. And to have the whole town come out and celebrate, and to have the partnerships that we've enjoyed with the library, the town, just everybody in the community coming out to really hear and listen and celebrate, and to make this history accessible to people who it was not accessible necessarily to before. So I'm so proud of the timeline. I'm proud that we went to all different neighborhoods and tried to collect these stories and had the process so transparent and open for the folks in the community to contribute. So this is just, this is a wonderful thing. The civil rights history in Chapel Hill can be very ugly, but the celebration of uncovering that history is a really beautiful thing.
And it continues again this Thursday, the 28th at 5 p.m. at 405 West Franklin Street, now West End Wine Bar, formerly Colonial Drug, where the sit-ins began. Why Colonial Drug? What was the reason for that particular location being chosen?
From what I understand, that was one of the hangouts for the Chapel Hill Nine. Mm-hmm. When they used to gather at the Rock Wall and talk, they would come over to Colonial Drugs and get a soda. Specifically, the relationship to my family was Big John, as he was called, the proprietor of the store, used to service my family. He used to be a pharmacy technician, and I had an uncle who had a very serious kidney disease. So Big John was actually known to come up with concoctions that were really, really good. And if you spoke with my grandmother, she would say that it was his medicine that kept my uncle alive. So Big John had a relationship and knew most of the members in the Chapel Hill Nine, which is ironic. That might be where they felt the most safe and the most comfortable coming to do a sit-in. So for me, it's a very fascinating story, because if you even read the narrative of Big John, even when it was at the height of the tensions, he never really wanted to believe that the young teenagers that he knew were involved in this big kerfluffle. He wanted to blame the outside agitators because of the relationship he had with the students. But Big John and all over Chapel Hill needed to make some space for desegregation, and that's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Again, chapelhillhistory.org if you want more information on the task force, the timeline, more information on the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill. You can go to that website and get more. And again, the event that we're talking about is this Thursday at 5 p.m. Other things that people need to know about the task force, upcoming events, this thing on Thursday, anything else that we haven't covered yet?
Well, this Thursday, we're going to be unveiling the future. We're dedicating the site of a future marker. So stay tuned. A year from now, February 28th, 2020, at the 60th anniversary of this sit-in, we hope to unveil a permanent marker in honor of the Chapel Hill Nine.
I would just like to say that on this Thursday, we will have a lot of great entertainers. We have Christian Fushi Green from the Chit Nasty Band, a local celebrity here. We also have Chloe from Durham. The legendary Ebony Dancers will be there to sing. We have great people on the program scheduled to speak. Pastor Coleman at First Baptist Church has been so gracious to us, and we also will have our mayor, and it'll just be a really nice opportunity for the town to celebrate the uncovering of this history and to announce that we are also going to explore women in the movement. So we're very much looking forward to everybody joining us and having a good time and really celebrating what the potential might be for the collection and gathering of this history.
Thursday, February 28th, beginning at 5 p.m. at 405 West Franklin Street. That is the site dedication, community celebration to continue at First Baptist Church on Roberson Street after that. And if you want more information, visit chapelhillhistory.org. Molly Luby, Danita Mason-Hogans, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.